Good morning, TNC family, on this first Sunday in March, where today here we're in part three of a six-part series, each week considering a single verse from the scriptures, a verse to dwell on, memorize, let soak in to our hearts and minds in a way that can help us experience the presence of the divine in the universe and the goodness of God in our lives. And today's text is from Joshua chapter 24. The words of a man who led the Israelites into the promised land after Moses' death and is considered to be one of the Bible's greatest military leaders, and even today is held up by many as a model for how to effectively encourage and inspire people. And Joshua is standing in front of a nation he loves, getting kind of ramped up, recalling for them previous national conquest and future opportunities to move into the next era of God's promise. And then he goes down a list of things, all of which he says are insignificant compared to following the ways of God. And then he says to the people, okay, I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but it all comes down to this. You've got to choose. You've got to choose above all else to prioritize God's presence and wisdom. And you've got to choose for yourself. Nobody else can do it for you. Here's today's verse, verse 15. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Or as I first memorized verse 15 as a kid in the King James Version, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose. And of course, what it means to choose is to actually make specific decisions around things like words, friends, money, thoughts, food, sleep, exercise, and so on. Choose isn't something you just say. I choose to be a multimillionaire. Poof, and it happens. Can't just say it. I choose to be happy. Ding. I choose to get a better job. No, choice isn't about what you say. It's about what you do. It's not about standing at the intersection of two diverging roads. It's actually about walking down one of them. In the words of the famous poet Robert Frost, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Both that morning equally lay in leaves. No step had trodden black. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood, and I looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And, knowing how way leads to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. I chose, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so, TNC, I want to mention now three choices for moving down the path that is in step with serving God, aligned with the counsel of the scriptures, and congruent with God's first book, Science and Nature, the world and the universe as God has designed. Three choices, and here's number one. Choose to let people who are wiser than you show you a way forward. Said another way, there's no good way to follow God outside of listening to God's voice and the voice of others. Because in the scriptures, God most often speaks through the influence of others. That's right. God uses others to show people the way forward. For example, in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is going to leave his house and his homeland and head out in a new direction. And he honestly does not know which way to go, north, south, east, or west, until verse 1, Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then Isaac commanded him, go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father Bethuel. Isaac tells Jacob this, although we find out not much later that it is actually God who is moving Jacob to where he wants him to be. God wants Jacob to go to Paddan Aram as part of the plan to advance his covenant with humans through Jacob. God is the one at work, but verse 1 says, Isaac called Jacob. Now, you would expect it to say that God called Jacob to leave, but it doesn't. It says that Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him. So which is it? Answer, God, through a person he put in Jacob's life, who had wisdom that Jacob didn't have. And you see this pattern throughout the scriptures. God will speak to Ruth through Naomi, Esther through Mordecai, Naaman through Miriam, Peter through Paul, Nineveh through Jonah, speak to Samuel through Eli, David through the prophet Nathan, Balaam through a donkey, and on and on and on. And God will do this in your life and in mine if we let him. God will speak to us through other people. And in the words of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise, but those who disregard the instruction of others despise themselves. Or chapter 11 in verse 14, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. All of which means you've got to ask people around you, do you see anything in this situation that I don't see? Do you feel anything that I may not feel? And I know in some ways we prefer to have God come down like a lightning bolt and tell us in a way that feels less human. It's just that mostly God will use another person, another human who's right in front of your face, who loves you. And so you've got to know, if you don't have the right people around you, you're not going to have the right voices speaking to you. And if you don't have the right voices speaking to you, you won't make the right choices. And if you don't make the right choices, you'll end up in places that are no good for you. Which means we must learn to recognize the voice of God, the ways of God, in the wisdom of others. Although, now let me take a little detour. Too often, we'd rather just learn the hard way ourselves, not listen to other people. Said another way, there's a certain subset of advice that for some reason we all refuse to learn through the instruction of others. No matter how hard or costly or draining it's going to be for us to find out for ourselves, with certain things, we prefer to disregard the mountains of warnings that we get from our elders and from books and from history, and instead think some version of, yeah, that might be true for them, but not for me. And so by default, we decide to learn the hard way. And the thing about this subset is, unfortunately, they're all the big things. Like it's never insights about how to put a bookshelf together, or snake a drain, or find a good restaurant, or watch a good movie. We'll take other people's advice about that. But on the big stuff, stuff we spend most of our lives learning the hard way, we just don't like to listen. Things like debt is the enemy. I'd like to go into debt myself and see if it's true for myself. Like, people who fail to plan to fail. I'd like to jump quickly into this and I'll play it by ear. Like, fame and likes won't fix your self-worth. I'd like to invest a bunch of time and energy and money into my image online and with my body, and I'll see for myself if fame and likes does increase my self-worth. Like, you need to end that relationship, and there will come a time when you'll even be grateful for it. I'm gonna stay in this relationship, even though it's destructive. Figure that out for myself. Like, worrying isn't improving your performance. I'm gonna worry anyway. Like, you need to change your diet, start to exercise. I'm really busy. And even that short list of examples I just gave, TNC, you might go, yeah, those are pretty basic, obvious insights that everybody has heard before. But if they're so basic, why does everybody so reliably fall prey to them consistently throughout their lives? Why do folks convince themselves that I'm the exception? Given my particular mental makeup or life situation or historical wounds or dreams for the future, I am immune to these lessons being applicable to me. All of this well-known wisdom sure applies to most people, but me, I can thread the needle, dance through this minefield, and step over all the trip wires that everyone else has to run into. And then it all hits the fan and you're underwater in the middle of a hell. And if you're honest, then a little voice in the back of your mind will say, why didn't I let people who are wiser than me show me a way forward? I should have listened. Chapter 24, verse 15. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will listen to the voice of God through others. Which leads to a second choice for moving down the path that is in step with serving God, aligned with the counsel of Scripture and congruent with the world and the universe that God has designed. Number two, choose the fruit over the tree. Choose the fruit over the tree. Let me explain, because what I mean here is something similar to what Jesus meant as he made several statements throughout his life about how the fruits matter so much more than the tree, about how you can gauge people not by their title, their education, their pedigree, or their theology, but rather by their love and joy and generosity and humility. Is a tree good? Jesus asks. Just look at the fruit, he answers. Fruit matters more than the tree, which is why a fair and consistent critique of religious people sometimes is that many claim to believe in, say, Christianity, but fail to act in accordance with its message of love and compassion. They love the tree, but they can't quite swallow the fruit. Now, if you'll let me take a quick detour, if you follow what's going on in our broader culture, you know that there is a phenomenon happening where there's a group of thinkers who can't rationally assent to some of the doctrines of Christianity, but who are finding themselves hungry for the fruit of Jesus' teachings. Hungry for the fruit, but not able to believe in the existence of the tree. These folks have sort of been grouped into a category that might be called cultural Christians. Famously, folks like agnostic Douglas Murray, historian Tom Holland, psychologist Jordan Peterson, atheist Richard Dawkins, and to some degree, former atheist and author Ayaan Hirsi Ali, and to some extent, and this is in my opinion, folks like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who reject much of Christianity's doctrines, but advocate for most of everything Jesus ever taught. And even in the words of a half dozen of my own friends who were totally sold out to the fruits of Jesus' life, but aren't sure about doctrines like Immaculate Conception or the infallibility of Scripture or the nature of the Trinity or conventional interpretations of Bible prophecy or even the resurrection, but they love the fruit of the way of Jesus. And they push against Christians who seem more interested in Bible quoting than Jesus living. And so, detour almost over, there's a sort of cultural movement going on where there are people who like the fruits, but don't even believe in the existence of the tree, which leaves us, broadly speaking, with two groups of people. Folks who believe in the tree, but not in the fruits, and folks who believe in the fruits, but not in the tree. And of course, we want to get both right. But if you have to pick, pick the fruits, Jesus says. Choose the fruits. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will choose the fruit over the tree. Which leads to a third choice for moving down the path that is in step with serving God, aligned with the counsel of Scripture, and congruent with the world and the universe as God has designed. Number three, choose today over tomorrow. Because we worry so much about what will make us happy tomorrow, when the best way to get to a better tomorrow is through a better today. And so the Bible is so clear on this that if you pay attention to what needs to be done today, then tomorrow will take care of itself. Easier said than done, I know, because the enemies in your life will want us to use today's challenges to defeat you. I think of Moses tending sheep in the desert for 40 years, and how in that story, forces of evil want to discourage Moses. You're just a sheep herder. You're past your prime. You had your chance when you were younger, but you've messed it up, and now you're just too little, too late. But God says, no, actually, you're just in the perfect place to make the right decision today. Because today is the day you can practice patience and trust and courage so that someday soon you'll be able to lead an entire nation out of slavery and into the promised land. And this is exactly what Joseph comes to see in his life when he's in prison in a foreign country and he's tempted to think, my life is doomed in this prison. This is horrible. I don't want to be here. But God says, nah, this is good ground to help you prepare for the next stage of your life. And the text says that in prison, Joseph follows the ways of God, is honest and caring and trustworthy, and he wins the approval of the guards and fellow inmates and the cupbearer to the king, which leads him to getting released and rising to second in command over an entire nation of Egypt. And I could tell you 24 stories like this, all stories that teach TNC that if you're going through some stuff right now and you feel upset or unsettled or unsure, try not to worry too much about tomorrow. Pay attention to today. Advice rooted also in the writing of James Clear, the performance coach for athletes and executives, in his bestseller, Atomic Habits, which I love to quote here often. Clear writes about how if you spend too much time thinking about where you want to be tomorrow, I don't like my job today. I want that one tomorrow. I don't like my body today. I want that one tomorrow. I don't like this relationship today. I want that one tomorrow. It will lead to enormous amounts of discontentment today because future you, he says, is always thinner you, smarter you, richer you, happier you. You with stronger faith, more peace, better friends, a better body, more financial security, and improved self-control and willpower and so on. Said another way, future you is always who you wish you could be, who you think you should be, but who you are not yet. Which is a discontentment trap, he says, because when you get to the future, you will still be thinking about an even further future you. And what happens is your whole life is a life of chasing a future you that you'll never catch because the future is always, well, in the future, leading to the trap of always reaching for something out of reach, which is a nightmare for joy and contentment and peace. And so we must choose today. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will choose this day over tomorrow. Three choices for moving down the path that is in step with serving God, aligned with the counsel of Scripture, and congruent with the world and the universe that God has designed. Number one, choose to let people who are wiser than you show you a way forward. Number two, choose the fruit over the tree. And number three, choose today over tomorrow. And as we pursue these choices, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.